one little mess that Sarah, or Sarai and Abram as they were then, managed to get into. And today, I think we're going to look at an actually a bigger one that had consequences right down the generations. So without further ado, let's read. It's a long reading today, so it's Genesis 1 through to 18 verse 15. So, let's go. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. I will confirm my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. Abram fell face down, and God said to him, As for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham. For I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you are now an alien, I will give as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God. Then God said to Abraham, As for you, you must keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, for the generations to come. This is my covenant with you and your descendants after you. The covenant you are to keep. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You are to undergo circumcision, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and you. For the generations to come, every male among you who is 8 days old must be circumcised, including those born in your household or bought with money from a foreigner, those who are not your offspring, whether born in your household or bought with your money, they must be circumcised. My covenant in your flesh is to be an everlasting covenant. Any uncircumcised male who has not been circumcised in the flesh will be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. God also said to Abraham, As for Sarai, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah. I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of people will come from her. Abram fell face down. He laughed and said to himself, Will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? And Abraham said to God, If only Ishmael might live under your blessing. Then God said, Yes, but your wife Sarah will bear you a son, and you will call him Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him
as an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. I will surely bless him. I will make him fruitful and will greatly increase his numbers. He will be the father of 12 rulers, and I will make him into a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you by this time next year. When he had finished speaking with Abraham, God went up from him. On that very day, Abraham took his son Ishmael and all those born in his household, or bought with his money, every male in his household, and circumcised them as God told him. Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised, and his son Ishmael was 13. Abraham and his son Ishmael were both circumcised on that same day. And every male in Abraham's household, including those born in his household or bought from a foreigner, was circumcised with him. The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great tree of Mamre while he was sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day. Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground. He said, "If I have found favour in your eyes, my Lord, do not pass your servant by. Let a little water be brought, and then you may all wash your feet and rest under this tree. Let me get you something to eat so you can be refreshed, and then go on your way, now that you have come to your servant." "Very well," they answered. "Do as you say." So Abraham hurried into the tent off to Sarah. "Quick," he said, "get 3 sars of fine flour and knead it and bake some bread." Then he ran to the herd and selected a choice tender calf and gave it to a servant who hurried to prepare it. He then brought some curds and milk and the calf that had been prepared and set those before them. While they ate, he stood near them under a tree. "Where is your wife, Sarah?" they asked him. "There in the tent," he said. Then the Lord said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son." Now Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, which was behind him. "Abraham and Sarah were already old and well advanced in your years, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing." So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, "After I am worn out and my master is old, will I now have this pleasure?" Then the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Will I really have a child now that I am old?' Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son." Sarah was afraid, so she lied and said, "I did not laugh." But he said, "Yes, you did laugh."
Just to give a bit of background to this passage, I'm sorry, that was really quite a long passage, and thank you for listening to it. This whole scene is actually, this passage is actually 2 separate events. There's the first one in 17, where God probably appeared to Abraham, we're not sure, maybe in a dream or a vision. And then he appeared in chapter 18. God appeared in physical form. So let's have a look at chapter 17 first. Now, the real start of this is actually in Genesis 15. And if you're interested, when you get home, you can have a read. And that is where God personally came to Abraham. And there was a sacrifice of animals. They were prepared in a certain way. And God came down the middle and made the covenant, sealed the covenant with Abraham. And that was very personal. Only Abraham was present for that. And it was more God sealing that. There was no outward sign. But in these scenes, it's going a bit further now, because it's becoming very public. And one of the first things that happened is that Abraham, or Abram as he was, is given a new name. Now, Abram means exalted father, and Abraham means father of many. And this was to denote a new status. I'm sure many of you, particularly us ladies, have had a new life, a new surname given to you throughout your life, through your life. So you maybe started with a maiden name that was given to you from your parents, and then when you married, you were given a new name from your husband. You changed, and that was a change in status. You were becoming married, and you changed in status. It happens when a child is adopted, at least certainly in this country. When a child is adopted, they take on the name, the surname of the new parents. A couple of years ago, when Queen Elizabeth II died, the royal family all had a bit of shuffling of titles, because Prince Charles had been the Prince of Wales. He became King Charles III. He went onto the throne. William, who was, I think he was the Duke of Cambridge, he became now the Prince of Wales, along with his wife, Catherine. So they both became Prince and Princess of Wales. And other members of the royal family, their titles changed as their status changed. And this is what was happening with Abraham and Sarai, who became Sarah. And incidentally, Sarai and Sarah mean the same, princess. It's just that Sarah is a slightly more up-to-date version. What is special about this blessing that God was bestowing on Abraham and Sarah? Well, one of the things was it was an everlasting covenant. It was to be given right down the generations and actually right through to us today. But there's something else that if you're not careful when you read this, you can miss. And that is that God told Abraham and Sarah that they would, in their descendants, there would be kings. So they were actually becoming royalty, or the start of royalty. They were being very blessed indeed. And of course we know that in, I think, 2000 years or whatever down the line, of course, the ultimate king came, our Lord Jesus, who gave us all salvation. So he was being made actually royalty, a bit like Charles was when he became king, when his mother died. He was made a king. Abraham was being effectively made royalty, along with Sarai. This promise that God was making was also territorial. He gave them the land of Canaan, and it was a very specific bit of land. And in other parts of the Bible, you can read exactly what that territory was. So they had a change of name and were made royalty. They also were given a specific bit of land. But they were also told to do something else as an outward sign of God's blessing. Abraham was told to go and be circumcised and to circumcise everyone in his, all the males in his household, and even the ones that he bought as slaves and servants. Now, circumcision was not really known in Mesopotamia. It was known in other parts of the world, but it was more to do with the coming of adulthood rather than as a covenant with God. So this was really quite new. It wasn't something that was common in that old part of the world. Now, you might think that was a little bit tough on the slave and the servants who were told they had to be circumcised. I mean, what if they didn't want to be circumcised? That was a bit tough. But actually, it was a very important sign, because a lot of those servants weren't of the same race as Abraham. They were different races. And this is a very, very early sign that God was going to bless all the nations through Abraham, and of course later Jesus. So that's why all the other nations were, all the other servants were circumcised. Now, another thing that came to light as I was preparing for this was, you might think it's a bit sexist. The males get to have a sign, and what about the females? Well, actually, this is again a bit of a blessing on us. On the female, because the alternative, the opposite of circumcision for the female, of course, is the awful female genital mutation. And God actually spared females from that. We're not to go through that horrible process. So it was actually a sign of blessing on females. So that's that story. So how does circumcision come through to us today as the modern church? We have Jesus. Well, of course, for us, the equivalent is baptism. And I know recently Steve's been holding baptism classes. And baptism is very important. It's joining in with the covenant. It's making a covenant with God. It's making a covenant with the church as well. When we become members, we covenant into God's kingdom and God's family. And when we come out of that water, we are cleansed from sin. We're made new people. And we also, on baptism, get a new name. We become the sons and daughters of Christ so that we can have eternal life. And can you see where this eternal covenant comes, that we can join into that eternal covenant and join in of being almost grafted into that kingdom with now Jesus? We then turn to the next story of Ishmael and the story of Ishmael. Now, of course, Ishmael came about because Sarah and Abraham were quite desperate to have an heir, to have a son. So, like so often, we think we'll give God a little hand. We'll do it our own way. Won't wait for God. We'll do it our own way, because we know better. So Sarah gave her concubine. This is all in the Bible if you want to go away and read it later. Gave her concubine to Abraham, and they went off and did the necessary. And so Ishmael was born. By the way, Ishmael also was included in the blessing because his descendants also went on and had kings in them. They weren't the main blessing, but they did have kings. He was, his descendants were blessed. And so they had Ishmael. They tried to do it their own way. And we have the really sad story of Ishmael when he was ejected from Abraham's camp and sent off into the wilderness. And it's caused so much pain and suffering. We have to be very careful when we consider the story of Ishmael, not to try and place, when we look at what's happening today, very sadly, in Israel and Palestine, we have to be careful not to read too much into that from this story. And that's something that I just wanted to say, we have to be careful of. So Sarah and Abraham did it their own way. However, it wasn't God's way, and Ishmael wasn't the promised heir. So God said, no, we're going to do it my way. You're going to have a son. Sarah is going to have a son, and you're to call him Isaac. And so the second appearance of God is a much more physical one. Some people say it was the pre-incarnate Christ that appeared to Abraham and Sarah. But knowing it was God, it was a form of God that appeared to Abraham and Sarah. And he told them, you're going to have a son, call him Isaac. And he is the one that is going to have the sort of that royal line, that true royal line that produced Jesus further down the line. And of course, then enabled the church to start and for us to join in the covenant. It shows an immense lack of trust in God that Abraham and Sarah did this. They really weren't trusting in God. But God still was faithful to them. And we can trust God. God will bring his plans to fruition, even without us, and even when we mess up. And something that I was thinking as I was preparing this talk, that I thought, and it's very easy to miss this, that Sarah was this very elderly, she was 90 years old. Not only did God allow the conception, which was almost impossible for a woman that age, but he actually preserved Sarah through that pregnancy. I don't know many 90-year-olds who would actually survive a pregnancy today. I'm sure all of those of you who have been pregnant know. I know that even young ladies that I've seen in their 20s who've been at the end of pregnancy in this sort of weather have literally just think, please, please, would this baby just be born? Because they are so heavy and so uncomfortable. It takes a lot out of a woman's body to carry a baby to full term. And yet God preserved this 90-year-old woman so that she could deliver Isaac at full term. I think that's quite miraculous, don't you? But yes, in this whole story, we see a lack of trust in God. But we also see God being very, very faithful. And it reminds me of children. You know, your children are naughty or they do something that really hurts you, but you still love them regardless of what they've done. And it's a bit like that with God. what does this all mean for us? Well, if we read the New Testament, we can see that we are grafted into this eternal promise. We're grafted in through Jesus, and as Gentiles, we're grafted in. Even though this promise has been given to the Jews, we've been grafted in. And I want to read a verse now from Hebrews. It's Hebrews 11:16. And it says, instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. We can look forward to being eternally with God. God gave Abraham a piece of land, a specific piece of land, but actually he's got something eternal for us. Eventually we can look forward to joining him in whatever format. There's several suggestions, beliefs of how this can happen, so I'm not going to put on any specific one, but we will eventually, there will be a new earth, a new heaven, and we will be with God eternally in that forever existence city. Isn't that wonderful? So, look forward. In the meantime, God is there for you. He will never leave you. He will never abandon you. If we serve him out of love, he will always be faithful to us. He never leaves us. He's always there. He really loves his children. And this is the start. We're reading Abraham, but actually it's the start of our story as well. And it's a very, I just love reading Abraham's story. It's so interesting to read that despite the slight disasters that happened along the way, God still brought his will to bear. So, as we go into the next song or whatever Val has prepared for us, just remember, you have a future. You have an eternal destiny with God. Amen.